Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. 80 California women who flew military airplanes during World War II are being honored today in the nation's capital with congressional gold medals. The women Air Force service pilots were civilians trained by the government to fill a shortage during the conflict and free men up for combat missions. Barbara London, who turns 90 this year, remembers her first assignment in 1942.
I took a Cub from Lock Haven, Pennsylvania to New Orleans, Louisiana. That's a long way in a 90-horsepower Cub, but that was my first delivery for the military. It was amazing. I loved it from the very first time I started.
London passed on her love of flying to her daughter, who became one of the first commercial airline pilots in the country. Few Californians have benefited from deals Anthem Blue Cross and other insurers made with state regulators to settle charges they systemically drop sick policyholders to avoid paying for their care. That's the finding of a report to be delivered later this morning to an assembly committee in Sacramento. The insurance companies agreed to offer new coverage to nearly 6,000 people dropped after they were diagnosed with serious conditions. But more than a year later, fewer than 300 people have new policies with their former insurer. The report's author concludes the settlements were too complicated and the cost of the coverage too high. Anthem Blue Cross of California finds itself sitting at the center of the national debate over health care coverage, but long before the state's largest for-profit health insurer became a favorite target for politicians, regulators, and consumer activists, Blue Cross started with a charitable mission. Sarah Varney has the story.
It may be hard to imagine now, but back in the 1930s, membership in a Blue Cross plan was practically a civic duty. Boy Scouts handed out enrollment brochures, and preachers urged their congregations to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans formed as not-for-profits to give communities access to medical care and protect against personal financial ruin. All members paid the same amount, no matter how old or sick, and no one was turned away. The Blues became one of the most trusted brands in America.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? I'm Fahey Flynn with tonight's CBS News Special, brought to you as a public service by Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
By the 1970s and 80s, though, Blue plans faced competition from for-profit insurance companies. Because the Blues accepted all comers, regardless of health status, their rates were typically higher. These new insurers, who didn't offer universal coverage, attracted younger, healthier people with better deals. In response, most Blue plans started charging sicker and older people more. Even so, Blue plans around the country were losing market share and argued they needed access to capital. So in 1994, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association made a big change. For the first time, they would allow their franchises to convert from nonprofit charities to for-profit companies. Blue Cross of California was the first to do so and became WellPoint Health Networks.
Clearly, part of what Blue Cross intended and in fact did was use the capital that they raised from stock sales to acquire other companies to grow, to get bigger, and in so doing, put them in a position where they could sell to national accounts, because that's where a lot of the money is in the group health insurance market.
Mark Smith is president of the California Healthcare Foundation, one of the two health philanthropies created by the Blue Cross of California conversion. WellPoint went on to buy Blue plans in several states. At the same time, Anthem, the for-profit owner of Indiana's Blue plan, went on a buying spree of its own. And in 2004, WellPoint and Anthem proposed a merger that would make them the largest health insurance company in the country, and they needed approval from state insurance commissioners.
2004, there's 13 states that are either owned by WellPoint or Anthem, and now they're merging together. California is the only holdout state.
Lori Sobel is an attorney with Consumers Union. She says California regulators were concerned the merged company, which would be located in Indiana, would pursue its own financial interests at the expense of California policyholders.
People were concerned that money was only going to go up and that the benefit of having a large corporation wasn't actually going to transfer to Californians.
The merger was eventually approved, but state regulators are now auditing the company, in part to understand huge money transfers between Blue Cross in California and out-of-state WellPoint companies. And internal WellPoint documents made public during a recent congressional investigation showed WellPoint targeted a 7% profit in the individual market in California. In other states, it's typically 2 to 3%. Neither WellPoint nor the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association would comment for this story. While many Blue plans, including Blue Shield of California, remain not-for-profit, Chris Conover, a Duke University researcher, says the for-profit and not-for-profit Blues are now indistinguishable.
For 90 or 95% of their business decisions, they're going to make the same business decision. And then at the margin, maybe the for-profit plan is going to be a little more aggressive about, I don't know, their provider contracting or something like that.
It's understandable the plans would act similarly, says Sobel of Consumers Union, in order to survive in the health insurance marketplace. But she says along the way, the original mission of Blue Cross Blue Shield, to serve local communities indiscriminately, has been lost. The healthcare bills passed by Congress could, in fact, return the companies to their origins, sort of. Under the proposed rules, all insurance companies, for-profit and not-for-profit, would have to accept everyone and couldn't charge sicker people more. Although that doesn't mean the Boy Scouts will be out canvassing for WellPoint anytime soon. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
Can a museum sell off donated work to pay its debts? That's the question at the heart of a legal complaint filed by the family of famous photographer Ansel Adams. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca reports.
In 1983, the year before Ansel Adams died, his family gifted the Fresno Metropolitan Museum prints of 6 photographs. They included shots of snowy pines framing a winter view of Yosemite's Half Dome and braids of mist hovering above trees in the Sonoma County hills. In January, the Met Museum closed its doors, unable to recoup its debts after a multi-million dollar remodeling project. It's already auctioned off some of its property and plans to do the same with its art collection. The photographer's son, Michael Adams, a doctor in Fresno, and his wife say their gift agreement didn't allow the museum to sell the prints. They want them returned. Neither lawyers for the Adams family nor the museum would comment for this story. Both parties have indicated they're in negotiations, trying to mediate the dispute. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, March 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by Chevron, an energy company encouraging innovation right here in California. This is the power of human energy. Information available at chevroncalifornia.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of hybrid on-premises and virtual solutions for content security, network optimization, and data storage, benefiting more than 100,000 organizations worldwide. Barracuda.com.